Welcome to the Know Nothing Music Show. Thank you very much for listening. This is our weekly music podcast where we get together, nerd out about various music and bands and news-related articles, and ramble on and on for about 50 minutes on the dot, almost always. So thank you very much for listening. If you like what you hear, please add this feed to your pod feeder. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Tom, and...
Oh, across from him, it is Tim.
Hey. This week, we've got Vivo, which is the Music Evolution Revolution. That's their slogan. It's a music video and entertainment website. And we have the new one from Eels called End of Times. It's actually a full album, not an EP. Tim misspoke.
I mistakenly said it was an EP last week. I was actually looking at several... I downloaded several different EPs over the last couple weeks and been listening to a couple that have been pretty interesting. But yeah, this was actually my mistake. It was an actual LP, which really took me by surprise because they just released an album last year. So no wonder I was taken a little bit off guard. All right.
You want to go ahead and do your first news story?
Oh, sure. Why don't I? All right. I like this one. Mexico considers a ban on narco glorification. Essentially, they're going to make it illegal, or they're talking about making it illegal if they pass this law, to sing songs, perform, and produce these songs and movies that glamorize criminals. Wow, this is kind of weird that they can't even just sing a song about it. Now, obviously, they do have some really bad problems over there.
Yeah.
So it has really definitely become something that the government has to, you know, kind of step in and say, all right, things have gotten so out of hand here, we don't know who to trust, so let's just go ahead and start putting a ban on a lot of crap until we get this kind of taken care of. Obviously, it's kind of the Dixie cup full of water on a four-alarm fire. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting story that they're talking about, you know, a law, though, actually. You can't even talk about it. Imagine if that was even attempted in the U.S. That would be just absolutely nuts. But definitely a sign of the times. Pretty crazy, so.
Yeah, I like the, I love the name of the ballads. Narcorridos.
Oh, yeah. Bells known as Narcorridos.
Yes. Ah, yes. Gotta love Mexico. Anyhow, I'm gonna do my next story because I don't want to go into that pile of... Mine is from the Daily Swarm via Coachella. If you don't know what Coachella is, stop listening right now and go Google that. But after you listen to me talk about it. Coachella is it's the annual music fest down in...
It's also pronounced Coachella.
Coachella.
Sorry,
whatever.
I just had to be a dick.
It's in, I believe it's in the Indio Valley, or it's Coachella Valley in Southern California. It's always been the one I've wanted to go to because they always seem to have some pretty cool acts spattered about.
Always a good three-day fest. The place to be on that side of the country.
Exactly. But they just announced their lineup, and there's some good acts in here mixed in with some acts. LCD Sound System on Friday, one I would love to see. Them Crooked Vultures, if you don't know who they are the new sort of side project, sort of super group of Josh Holmes from Queens of Stone Age,
Dave Grohl,
and the bassist from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about that. You know what? For some reason, I never picked up that album. I really should.
You can stream it and listen to it live or on Lala, which is cool.
Yeah, of course.
Actually, a sort of little side note about that Crooked Vultures. Dave Grohl could have had Paul McCartney in the band.
I don't know about that. It doesn't really fit.
No, yeah. So, well, and then there's on Saturday, Muse. I think both I and Tim really enjoy that band. Always seem to miss out on them. Management, I've seen them before. Great live band. Devo. Gotta love some Devo. Gorillaz, when I believe Tim said they're doing a new album or...
Yeah, Gorillaz. Earlier this week, Gorillaz just announced their new album, Stylo, is going to be coming out. Don't ask me the day. I actually didn't mark it down.
And, of course, what a way to end it better with Sly and the Family Stone.
Very cool. I mean, they do have a very good lineup.
Very mixed lineup.
Friday is definitely going to be the day, you know, if I were to go, that would have been the day I would have went. A bunch of bands I would like to see. But the whole weekend they have some great acts scattered throughout.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're on the West Coast and you have some extra cash, and I believe it's in April, go ahead and make that a weekend because it looks like it might be pretty good. And I'm sure there's going to, hopefully soon they're going to start announcing the lineup for Lollapalooza and all the other fests. The summer's become a fest of different musics, so it's a great way to spend the summer. But Tim, why don't you head on to your...
Oh, can I? Are you done talking? I know, pot calling the kettle black. Okay, and of course, my second story, I want to keep on, well, even though the Mexico thing wasn't really light, I guess when you're at a distance from the issue, it's kind of humorous to think about, but this one is actually definitely on the lighter note. New Prince, Purple and Gold, Minnesota Vikings fight song. Well, I don't know how many blogs I saw about this Prince doing a fight song for the Minnesota Vikings, and wow, pretty interesting. You just YouTube it, you'll find, or just Google it, you'll find tons of information about this. But the reason why I picked this one, because it just kind of struck me. Obviously, we're from Illinois, we're Bears fans, despite the horrible season they had this year. I proposed this question to Tom earlier on. If you could have any artist write a fight song for the Chicago Bears, who would it be?
Kanye West.
Kanye West.
Maybe T-Pain. T-Pain, it might be interesting. I just want to see. I mean, let's put the whole auto-tune thing to rest there with that.
You know who I would like, especially in light of his Christmas album, Bob Dylan. I just think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, the Biz.
Yeah, the Biz. Way to go.
All right. Stop us there.
Yeah, please.
My final story, before we let you know where you can find all our ramblings and tell us to stop, maybe, is from, Daily Swarm, for most of my stories come from. Entertainment industry explains how true net neutrality is just another word for theft. apparently, the RAA... and the MPAA, and then another acronym, the SGA, are up in arms about net neutrality and how it's going to be the end of songwriting.
Mm.
And it's rampant looting. It's just... Are you kidding me? I mean, I think there's another story that we didn't pick, how pirates are the music industry's, like, number one...
Yeah, I mean, they're a great demographic because although they steal a lot of music, guess what? They also buy a lot of music. They see a lot of shows. They, you know, purchase a lot of merchandise. They shouldn't be villainize, they should be marketed to. Don't. And this is something I said a long time ago, that if artists were so worried about their music getting stolen, and admittedly I do understand the thing that really, even I say, come on, knock it off, is when people steal an album that's supposed to be released in 4 months. You know, those premature leaks. That is a dick move. But at the same time, like I said, it's really up to an artist to just go, you know what, if you're going to steal our music, here's a decent rip of the album, and guess what, we're including liner notes, we're including links to our HTML page, there's links to this, there's information. In other words, make it one big file and market to your audience, saying, hey, we know you didn't buy this. If you want to buy it, click this link to go to Amazon or whatever. Otherwise, hey, guess what? We're touring this summer or something like that.
Yeah.
Guess what? Most people are pretty cool and will say, okay, good. You're coming, you're coming to my town in March or something. So, okay, I could go off on a huge rant. I've got a lot to say at the end of the show, so I'll shut up right there. Let's get this baby moving, okay?
But sort of to end it with my little thing, he ends it really interesting. And I'm sorry, this is from Tech Dirt. He says pretty much, Tim and I would probably pretty much agree with this, is that it shows how low the entertainment industry has decided to stoop in trying to get others to bring back old business models rather than to adapt to the changing times. I think we've said that before. We've heard a lot of other people say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I remember when we did our whole thing a couple months back about the whole industry, and we talked about Todd Rundgren and all that. Even he mentioned the stuff, or, you know.
And in fact, just keeping on today's, well, one of today's subjects, which is you're going to be talking about Vivo all this month. We didn't mention, but all this month, we mentioned earlier that we're going to be, or we are covering a new music service, online music service. We did a couple early on, the first episode this year. And then, like I said, each week we've both done taking one each and doing another album. So it just doesn't stay boring as talking about these music services. But the whole reason we've been doing that is there's a lot of news every week, whether it be with Lala or Spotify or whoever's making the news at that present time. There's information about iTunes. They're talking about, Apple's talking about going to the iCloud ever since their absorption of Lala,
yeah,
since they bought them out. So, and we kind of mentioned that last week about Lala. It's like, we, once Apple really figures out how to do that cloud, it's going to be really interesting and very exciting if you have, if you're one of the billions of people out there who own iPods. So, anyway, just kind of moving that thought forward is that, yeah, instead of wanting, harking back to those old days where, they could screw over the artists and charge, $15 for a disc or more, and, make a huge profit on something that costs 10 cents. And, have these multi-million dollar contracts and this and that. Instead of growing towards where the market is going, yeah, they're trying to roll back the clock. You can't do it. Genie's out of the bottle. Pandora's box is open. Live with it. So
yeah, adapt to it and learn to use it for your purposes. I mean, it's either that or die.
Yeah, and they are, in fact. I was going to go off another tangent. I won't. Let's keep this focused. In fact, let me go ahead and just give you some information about ourselves. Of course, you're listening to Know Nothing Music Show. You can reach us at knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. That's our little home page where you can check out our latest episodes, as well as get links to the artist and the stories that the stories we just talked about, the artists that we're going to be talking about, and any other information that we have on there. It's a great starting point, and add us to your podcatcher. We always enjoy new listeners and new listenership. It's always growing every week. It's always kind of weird to see that, a couple more people are subscribing. I don't know why. So anyway, go ahead, subscribe. We got some stuff kind of in the works for upcoming shows. I've been kind of in talks with a local artist. I gotta do a little more talking with their manager tomorrow, so hopefully that pans through.
Yeah, and I am actually in talks with somebody who's starting a new website, and I might be on there. So
oh, cool.
That's still in the works right now. So
yeah, yeah.
Sometime probably in February or March that's going to come around. So I'll let you know more when that comes around as well.
Yeah, like I said, we're constantly trying to do new stuff. So go ahead, add us to your pod feed. It doesn't cost a thing. Yeah. So.
And if you're here from if you're coming in from listening to Slug.
Oh yeah, that's right. We wanted to say
thanks to him. We just sent him out a little promo. I don't know when his next one comes out. We'll probably have like two or three before one of his come out. not trying to whatever Slug. You know, we all have our lives. So
yeah,
but anyhow, if you like our show, go ahead and listen to him as well.
Yeah, slugcast.net. Check out Slug. He's a real good guy. He talks about music, and he adds in some good music, too. And he splits it up pretty evenly, where he'll go and talk about some artists. And the one he had on his last episode was pretty good. I cannot think of the name of it. A pretty kind of cool-sounding band. But anyway, again, let's keep this focused, because I know I'm going to be going off on a huge tear at the very end of this episode. Let's talk about Vivo, can we?
Vivo. Sounds like a character from Ghostbusters, doesn't it?
That was Vigo. But that's V-E-V-O?
V-E-V-O.
Yes.
It's been around since, the tail end of 09. It's a music video entertainment website, and of course in the beginning I said its slogan is Music Evolution Revolution. They like the rhyming, I guess. And it's owned by Sony Music Entertainment, Universal Music Group, and Abu Dhabi Media Company, who I have to find out who the heck they are, because they're from Abu Dhabi. But they launched on December 8th, and the hosting is provided by YouTube and with Google, and Vivo sharing the advertising revenue. And they've got four major labels: Universal, Sony, and EMI. And the reason I picked this was because back 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, it all of a sudden shot up as the number one like music player out there. So obviously Sony and these four labels are obviously doing something right. So I went ahead and checked it out, and my review is going to be short, because with these four music labels, you would think there'd be quite a bit of stuff on there. More or less, it's the major artists I can pretty much find. Spoon is on there, which is a band that we're going to talk about next week.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I went through my list of 09's best of, and other than Amanda Blank, could not find a single person on there. So as it stands for me, not a service I'm going to use, primarily because one, it's not like Lala or Rhapsody or the
Zune Network
where it's songs and MP3s. It's primarily video. I mean, it's great if you have the time and want to watch a lot of videos and stuff, but for a person like I or Tim or any of our listeners who love music, you know, I can go to YouTube and find a lot more than I found on Vivo.
Yeah.
That being said, it's still a very new company. They've just been in the works for a little over a month now. They've said that they're going to do more stuff. Their page is very lacking. I want to look for some information, and of course, the first thing I did was go to their about page. You know, about Vivo, and it's pretty slim. It's meh. It's not very not a lot. It doesn't answer a lot of the questions one would have going into this. They do have a lot of media quotes. It's a fresh experiment, according to Digital Music News. Giant Jeff's step forward for the industry. I really don't see how this is a giant step forward. YouTube's been doing it for a while not per se with a dedicated
or legally.
Or yeah, well, you know, there's some bands have their own YouTube pages on.
Yeah.
So they do, like Eels released, I think their first video for this new album on YouTube, on their YouTube page.
Most likely a lie on the dirt or something.
Yeah. So really, the service is really lacking. It's an okay design. Not really anything new. I mean, yes. The nice thing is the songs do stream pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't like the four major labels that they have on there, you're pretty much out of luck. One of the bands we did mention that was playing at the Coachella is Management. They're on, of course, one of the major labels. I'm not sure which, but they're on here. More or less, if I had to rate this, D minus, just because really lacking in what it does. It does one thing. It does videos. Does it do it well? Not really. If I want to, like I said before, if I want to watch a music video, I'll go to YouTube or Google, or I'll go to the band's website.
Mm.
More often than not, though, I am not a music video fan.
And I blame MTV for that.
Oh, yes. Management is or part of Sony Records, so that's why they're on there. So I haven't really gone that in depth to the amount of bands they have. I'm sure they have quite a bit. Don't think I ever got a number for how many bands are on there. I'm looking at the wiki page, which actually offers a lot more than the FAQ page for Vivo on their website, and they don't even have a number. So I'm assuming it's quite a bit, but being as it's just videos, if you like videos, go ahead and go to Vivo.
I think it's more of what it could be for future applications. This site is so young that I think it holds the promise of what it probably will eventually become, ideally, would be just a place to host the videos and then have it integrated into other websites.
Yeah.
Where it can be done legally, decent quality, good streaming rate, and it won't, you know, you're not subjected to YouTube. Like I said, that way there's no question of the legality of it, and it would just be, you know, here's your link, put this on your Facebook page or whatever, instead of, you know, the sketchy workaround of using YouTube.
Yeah.
So I think it is so young, it's definitely got a ton of room it can grow.
Yeah.
The interface for it was all right, in my opinion. Definitely Lala really kind of set the bar for just a smart website. Everything is where you want it to be. You know, I can, you know, click on, you know, what do I want to do? What am I looking for? What am I, you know, do I want to go into my history? What was this? What's that? It's all within one page. I don't have to scroll around and look for what I want. This was a little bit more backwards, but at the same time, not too bad. It wasn't all that clutter, but at the same time, there's not much to clutter it up with.
No.
Because
I did find how many artists. I'm just looking at their artist thing. It looks like they have around little under 6,400 artists. Hopefully, this grows. Hopefully, they get more labels on this. I mean, it's only four major labels, and there's a ton more labels out there. I'm sure if this is a success and if it continues like it has been, which I don't think there's any reason it wouldn't, then hopefully more labels come on and we get, you know, some indie labels would be nice, and more reason for other than the, you know, very radio listener demographic that just listen to what the radio or whatever MTV feed them.
Yeah, like top 50 or whatever.
Yeah, if there's, you know, if they offer more than just that sort of little niche market, I think they'll do better for that. But as it stands right now, like I said, it's a like a D, D minus. I can't give it an F because there's enough there to, I mean, warrant a look. So, as it stands, I'm not going to visit that much.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to watch some music videos or, and you obviously are sick of waiting for MTV to play a music video, then okay, it's probably worth it to you. If that's the case, probably maybe a C or whatever. But there are other websites that are huge catalog now, even if it's not legal. So, yeah, good point.
Let's move on.
All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about the Eels' new LP. Again, I was confused last week. I thought it was an EP, considering that just June of 2009, they released their previous album, Hombre Lobo.
Which we talked about, about 20-some-odd episodes ago.
Yeah, I mean,
back in June, actually, I think, when it came out.
Yeah, we talked about it half a year ago. I mean, it seems like just yesterday that... Again, I want to keep this focused because I know I have a lot to say. I am a huge Eels fan. I have been since Beautiful Freak. I even picked up on a whim at a pawn shop his solo E-work. What was it? A Man Called E, that album, which was, it was all right. It was definitely some interesting stuff before he joined the Eels. So, again, there's a lot I could say, and there's a ton that could be said about this band. But since we just talked about them, I'm not going to go into the whole backstory of the Eels. But I will say just a couple of things just to kind of get the juices moving a little bit, mainly about their previous albums and what leads up to this. Just kind of take that out of the equation when I actually give my review before I hand this over to Tom. Okay, first of all, like I said, a band I've been a huge fan of for quite a few albums now. So when this album came right off the heels of Hombre Lobo. Now, Hombre Lobo was definitely E, who was the lead singer and a writer. He has, in fact, he started in the album Shoe Nanny referring to himself as the Lone Wolf. That to me has been, that song itself is probably the best self-description he's ever put in his whole music catalog, because it really defines him as a person and as an artist. Because a lot of the themes in his music really comes down to the whole facade that he's kind of built for himself about being a lone wolf or a wolf man, as Hombre Lobo states, or even when he dog-faced boy, you know, he's kind of adopted that moniker. So that's kind of an interesting... That's kind of an interesting thing that he put out there, especially considering what End Times is. End Times is the quintessential broken heart breakup album, and it chronicles a lot of what he was going through his divorce. That's the thing that really took me off guard. Like I said, half a year ago he released Hombre Lobo, and he's not the type of artist, he's not like Kevin Barnes who can put out a new album every 3 months. He usually actually takes about a year or two in between and, you know, lets the juices flow a little bit. So having this one come out so soon on the heels of Hombre Lobo was really kind of interesting to me, because yeah, I didn't know what it was about, I didn't know that much going into it, and then jumping right into it, and you hear this really dark, sad album about a breakup. And, of course, the title track itself, End Times, talks about, you know, the kind of doomsayer person walking around, this is the end of times, you know, prepare yourself. And, you know, he's kind of relating a breakup with the end of the world. So, wow, there's a lot in this album. Most of it, the bulk of it, was recorded on a four-track recorder by himself, and then he has some help mixing other tracks in this album. So, obviously, a lot of heart went into this, and another really great concept album. The last time he actually did something like this, at least to this extent, was Electroshock Blues, which has been my favorite Eels album for years. Well, since 98 when it came out. Electroshock Blues, another album written in grief, where a lot of people close to him, several friends and his sister committed suicide, mother died of cancer. I mean, it's just, the guy was just surrounded by death, and right on the heels of a huge breakout hit with Beautiful Freak. Wow, he was in a dark place, and he came out with this fantastic concept album that's just jam-packed with awesomeness. So anyway, again, I'm being a huge, huge fanboy. I'm not even going to pretend to be an unbiased music reviewer, because I'm not. So with that, I'm actually going to pass this off right now. Like I said, I just want to mention a few quick things about the Eels and about E before we get into this review. And I'm finally going to pass this over to Tom, because Tom is actually not the huge Eels fan that I am. So it's good to have the voice of reason here who can ground me. I'm amped up to talk about this. And Tom, yeah, force me to stop talking.
Well, again, we talked about Eel, or E and the Eels, back in June when we reviewed Hombre Lobo. And if you remember back then, I wasn't a big fan. It was my first introduction to the Eels. Didn't really care for Hombre Lobo. And going into this, I was sort of hesitant, you know, knowing that I didn't really care for that album. Big turn of events here, because this is a really good album. It starts, for some reason, it has the same slow plotting style, but I think it's more spare. And for some reason or other, in this album, E's raspy voice comes through more than ever, I think. I mean, maybe it's because this was really coming from his heart. You know, I think all great songwriters write the best when they're in the midst of something horrible or writing about it.
Well, it's when the muse is there.
Oh, so, yeah. And I think of for E, unfortunately, you know, he had to go through this horrible, you know, divorce and whatever. But from that sprung, you know, a beautiful flower, and it's called End of Times.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I think for all of us, it's really, for all that it is, I mean, it's very melancholy, slow. I like this album a lot better than Hombre Lobo. I think last time I liked the more upbeat tracks on Hombre Lobo. This time, I think he does it on one or two tracks, and I think it really takes you out of the feel of this album. This album works because the whole like vibe of this album is like, you know, very spared down. Sort of, it's got a very haunting sound. I think if you've listened before, I'm not the lyrics person, so, you know, it's a horrible thing to say when this album is about a breakup, and there's probably some great words in here about breakups, but I just don't listen to lyrics. I really don't. Never have. I listen to all the other stuff, but 9 times out of 10, when you ask me what they said in there, I'm like, I don't know. It's just how I am with music, whatever. So I think I can. I think I'll leave it to Tim to talk about that. I'm sure he has quite a bit to say about that. But as far as musically, this works so much better. It's pared down. I think it allows E's voice to come through a lot better. Just you know, I listened to, I went back and listened to Oboe Lobo a little bit. It sounds a little bit more upbeat than this. Even the recording quality, I think, on this adds a sort of atmosphere to it that really adds to this sort of, like, it's rough, and I mean, whoever's been through a breakup, I mean, it's sort of stupid, but it, like, the roughness of this album is sort of symbolizing the roughness of this breakup, and really everything adds to this being a very good, I think, concept album. I mean, really, can you call it a concept album when it's, you know, about the songwriter's own, you know, probably his own, you know, thinking and his own, you know, thought process through this. So, really enjoyed it. Was really, really pleased when I first listened to this on Lala, and from the beginning onward, was really surprised, really happy that, you know, after Oboe Lobo, I can sort of understand why there's such a big fan base for the Eels and why they're still around and why E has this, you know, sort of following. I mean, you heard Tim talk. Obviously, I can understand his obsessing a little bit. But I'm going to stop there because I think Tim can probably talk about this a lot more. And I want to say maybe he'll disagree with me, but I don't know. We'll see. So, Tim.
Okay. Oh, where to start now? Because there is a ton of stuff to say. All right. First things first. Let's start off with the whole concept of this album. Obviously about the breakup and him talking about, you know, the end times, rough times, rough waters, rough recording. So he does mix all this together. Now I think the quick development of this album, if anything, it hindered a little bit of that concept. Now, reason why I say that is there's a couple things as a huge fan trying to be a critic here that I would have done a little bit differently. Now, again, this is kind of, you know, armchair quarterback. This is me just being, oh, if you only did this. Okay, first things first. While, you know, he is using that whole end times theme, it's only really in about three tracks, maybe four, that it really becomes apparent and it's really overt and out there that he actually mentions it and really ties that theme in with the rest of the album. It is there, but at the same time, it's not the best in the world. Coming from E, I would have expected a little bit more, but again, all things considering, it's still pretty darn good. The fact that he kind of slid that in there, that kind of B-plot to the whole story that he's going for, it's all right. It could have been tied in a little bit better, a little bit neater with a bow tie, but at the same time, if he did that, it probably wouldn't be End Times. It would probably be a different sort of album, you know, and maybe too polished. So, again, you're kind of walking that razor line. All right, the other thing that I would like to see in there, I mentioned earlier about that whole Oboe Lobo, the whole lone wolf facade, that moniker that he's given himself. And typically when he talks about that, it's a little more of his rebellious streak that he's really tapping into, that kind of wild man blues that he really likes to talk about and get into. And while at the same time it's almost a rebellious sort of attitude he has when he talks about that, there's always an underlayment there of melancholy in those songs, in the attitude, because although he is a lone wolf and you know kind of a bad man, so to speak, he's still a lone wolf. So there's always that kind of duality to him. That's why, I really like that song, Lone Wolf, off of Shoe Nanny. For me, that song alone is really worth the price of admission for that album. But anyway, let's move this back on to End Times. I actually felt it was kind of a missed opportunity that he didn't tap into that and show the duality of, Now the lone wolf is more of a sad creature as opposed to, this big menacing beast from prior albums. Again, a missed opportunity, minor critique, and this is just something that I'm nitpicking at here. All right. I know what I was going to mention too. Hombre Lobo. Neither Tom nor I were really blown away by it. Hombre Lobo, in fact, was. I would definitely consider it like a best of. If you told me it was a collection of B-sides, I would have gone, oh, okay, makes sense. Because each track on that definitely sounded like something that came off of another album, off his entire catalog, even A Man Called E. So I said that then. I still kind of stick to that. I think that was probably the theme he was going with on that. Hombre Lobo, of course, he's going towards that moniker that he's given himself. So it might have been something autobiographical that I think that concept I never really fell in love with. Fine, whatever. And of course, the album prior to that, or major LP prior to that. Of new material was Blinking Lights and Other Revelations. Again, an album I wasn't crazy about either. It was a turn where he wanted to go to something a little more orchestrated. He wanted to go inducing a little bit difference on that, change up his arrangements and this and that. I just was not a huge fan of that. Now, I said when we reviewed the last album that E has two types of albums. This is something that a conclusion I've come to. I haven't heard anyone else say this or read anything about this. Not that it's a completely original idea. I'm sure other people have caught on to this, but E is the kind of guy who he can either write one of two different kinds of songs or do one of two different kinds of albums. He can be either musically advantageous or he can try to be lyrically profound. And let me extrapolate that a little bit. And by musically, trying to push himself out there, what I mean is, I'm not saying that he's all that great a musician. I'm not saying that the compositions are all that phenomenal. I'm just saying he can try new things. He can, work outside of his safe zone. And when, if you've been an Eels fan for a while, you definitely get a good feel where his safe zone is. If it's just him, a guitar, that's a safe zone. He can do that all day long and just pop out songs like crazy if he wants to. But when he decides to do something a little bit different and push himself, push the boundaries of what he's doing, that is always at the detriment of his lyrics. And again, the lyrics, he's not full of whimsy and wondrous prose. He's not the greatest poet in the world. I'm not trying to say he is. The reason why I like E and do like his lyrics, he has the ability to just cut to the quick and just put out, just simple lyrics and just say what he's thinking, and but definitely in such a way that makes you go, I get it. I get what you're saying. I completely understand. I see your situation. I'm there with you. There's some people need 1,000 words to describe a picture. Sometimes he can just say, it's a picture of the Eiffel Tower, and you get, oh, I know what that is. You don't need to, put pages and pages of info. I know what you mean. For instance, there's a line about, obviously she left, and he pushed the bed towards the wall because he doesn't feel as alone. With the bed scooted up towards the wall, it kind of gives him the false sense of someone else is there. I get it. I get exactly where you're at. That's a great line. It's again, it's not Shakespearean, but at the same time, I'm there with you. I got the whole thing in my head. Let's keep going. Let's push this further. So, and like I said, when he tries to push himself musically, lyrics usually tend to and be mediocre at best, but when he's in that zone, sometimes you can kind of catch lightning in a bottle. This one, it is stripped down, but at the same time, there's some good music on here. They're definitely he really is pushing himself. Okay, let me just kind of wrap this up with the last couple thoughts I have here. this is probably the best album I've heard from him since at least Shoe Nanny. And Shoe Nanny, I wasn't even that crazy about. It's probably definitely his best middle of the road. Decent musically, a few interesting concepts in there, and it's very listenable. Definitely one of my go-to Eels album, mainly for the sheer fact that it's pretty good, and I haven't listened to it a billion times already. This could easily be... time will tell, but this could easily be my new favorite album from E. I think he's come a long way, and unfortunately it takes some emotional jarring in order to get a friggin' brilliant album out of E, but he is capable of so much. And this is just proof that, you know, he kind of pulled an album out of his ass, and it was wonderful. Like I said, could have been polished over more? Yeah. Could he have tied together some of the themes of this a little bit better? Yes. Could he have, you know, put this in the realms of genius? Yeah, I think he's more than capable of doing an even better version of this album. But at the same time, would I like that better version? That's kind of, you know, you know, that's kind of that, you know, question that, you know, it's always going to be in the back of my head. All right, so bottom line, obviously, this is the huge buy for me. As I told Tom, I was illegally listening to a version of this. Why? Because I've been bitten by his last two albums, and I wasn't going to just pull up money out of my pocket to listen to End Times. And guess what? I immediately went, paid full retail price for this album, you know, from a big box store. And I was happy to do it. I'm so happy to have this in my collection. In fact, I love this so much, I'm going to go back and revisit Blinking Lights, even though I was never crazy about it, just because I felt like maybe there was something in there I missed. Maybe I'm just kind of... I wasn't in sync with the artist at that time. He did it again. I'm so happy with this album. It's wonderful. I'm going to keep listening to it. It might end up being my favorite album of the year because I'm that psyched about it.
Wow. That's a big thing.
I know, considering it's only January.
Yeah. So what album, what tracks on here do you think stand out, or is that hard to...
Okay, well, obviously, one of his singles, of course, is a good one that I didn't like at first. I thought, again, he has the tendency of doing lyrics where you go, oh, that's a lousy lyric. But at the same time, after a listen or two, you go, it's a lousy lyric. But at the same time, again, he's cutting to the quick. He's at that point where, look, I'm not going to BS you. This is what it is. A Line in the Dirt. Obviously, a song about, you know, he drew a line in the dirt and she crossed it. And you know what? At the same time, like, if you try to fancy that up, it would be a completely different song. If he was trying to be really cute with it, yeah, then I'd be like, oh, well, that's kind of lame. Yeah. You know, it might be good at first, but there's no depth to it. See, that one, Paradise Blues, I thought was a really good one. Apple Trees, it's not even a song. It's more like him just talking.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a good example of how he could say something, and it's kind of dumb, but at the same time, there's a layer of depth there that you go, wow. Because it's him talking about driving past, it's 40 seconds long, and all he's doing is talking about driving past, you know, acres of trees, of apple trees, and, you know, in the distance, he looks down one of the rows at random, picks out one tree at random, and thinks to himself, that's me. That's it. That's all the track is. And all he's saying is that at that moment of time, he just felt like one in a billion. You know, he just felt small. I get it. Again, it sounds stupid at first, but then you go, okay, I get it. I've been there. You know, I see what you're saying. So anyway, that's another good one, even though it's not even a song, you know. probably one of my favorites is I Need a Mother, which is another one, probably the closest that he got to touching upon that Hombre Lobo lone wolf facade of his, where it does kind of sum up the whole thing of, you know, who he is, what he is, and him just admitting to himself that, you know, he's at a point in his life where he doesn't need a lover, he needs a mother. You know, he needs that warm embrace. Probably also something that I think goes back to Electroshock Blues, surrounding her death. So like I said, there's just a lot of depth to this, and that's why I've said the several times I listened to it this week, loved it. And I really feel like I could dig even more into this album. So that's why I could easily see this being one of my favorite albums of the year. Unless the rest of this year is really, really good. Because like I said, there's a lot of depth. And I know this artist enough that I have enough of that kind of prerequisite reading. So I know all the backstory. I know certain things. And I can find myself really getting to know this artist. So, all right, yeah. Okay. How long was that? 80 minutes?
Yeah, really. We'll wrap it up really quick here.
50 minutes every time.
We'll wrap it up. Next week, I'm going to talk about the new one from Spoon.
Looking forward to that one.
Called Transference. Came out last week. And Tim's going to talk about
Mog. We've talked about Mog in the past, and sometime end of last year, I can't remember when, they actually, because they were partnered with Rhapsody and Real Networks prior to that, where you can listen to some streaming tracks on their website, and we'll talk more about this next week, but they decide to cut away from them and say, you know, we can do this ourselves, charge a monthly service, and we don't have to worry about another, you know, another big company, another big network saying what we can't do. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what their pay subscription service has to offer. It looks like they're really doing a lot, and it was definitely Mog is a cool website to begin with, a music blog website for just music fans. So interesting concept. Want to see exactly how it is. Been wanting to get around to it, and this is a good excuse to do it. So.
Okay. Well, not much else to say other than enjoy your weekend or week or whatever that kid is.
Get out, listen to some live music.
Listen, and there's some good upcoming albums coming. Mm-hmm. I know I've got a couple on my radar that I'm looking forward to. I know
same here.
Tim does. And of course, if you have any that you're looking forward to and you'd like us to talk about, of course, drop us a line. You can go knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com and find out where to do that.
Yeah, and the good news is that next week will be the last week for a little while where we're going to talk about a online music service. Like I said, it was just something we wanted to try for a month, check out a few that we were interested in, and then we're going to be going back into regular music reviews and music news. So a lot more music coming up, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm re-energized.
Yeah.
So, not only this album, but there's been several others. I've just been listening to a lot of music lately because I didn't have to. I got to listen to music.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
It's really, I think with, you know, Rhapsody and La La, it's been nice because these sites really make you want to just go and search and see what's in there.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, kid in a candy store.
Mm-hmm.
Very so, yeah, next week's last for, you know, I think for a little while on that subject.
Yeah.
And I think we'll have a sort of wrap-up on that, what's our favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's always more popping up, so maybe we'll come back to this sometime. Or do something else, you know, maybe.
We definitely got plans of stuff to do this year, and we're hoping other things kind of unfold for us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're just doing it because we love it.
Yeah,
why not?
This year looks good, and you know, we're going to keep on doing this until we get sick of each other, which could be tomorrow.
Well, I've been meaning to talk to you.
Anyhow.
All right, take care, people.
Later.